Everyone, I want to extend my welcome to you and thank you for your presence. I know that we have visitors with us again this week, and we're always grateful for your presence with us. So I also want to express just a thanks and a praise. We've got several families that are back with us that have been out for several weeks that have been sick and really sick, and we are incredibly grateful that you are here and that you're better. I know that the healing is probably still a process and maybe still a little bit more journey to go, but glad that you can be with us. I also want to put a plug in. I know Travis mentioned it in the welcome for the trash pickup today. And if you can't do both the trash and the fellowship, just do whichever one you can. We grow closer as a family when we spend time together and when we serve. So if you can only pick up trash with us, that's a great way to serve and just come do that. Or maybe if you're not able to do that and can only fellowship, that's okay too. Just come. Whatever you are able to do, just come and let's be together as a church family. I'm going to guess that if we were to do a top 10 list of the most well-known scriptures, maybe in our country or even in the world, that Psalm 23 would be somewhere in that list. I think even if people are not necessarily religious by nature, most people are probably familiar on some level at least with Psalm 23. And it seems like, I don't know maybe if you're like me, but it seems like a lot of times when I hear that particular psalm read, it's at a funeral. And it provides great comfort for those that are grieving. But I would challenge us that that's not a psalm that's necessarily meant for that occasion. It's a psalm that has incredible meaning for us right now as we live. And it provides incredible encouragement and comfort for us because it helps us to better understand our relationship with God. But in order for us to understand that relationship, we need to at least think about in a little detail the idea of a shepherd and sheep. And certainly Psalm 23 is not the only place that we could go in Scripture to see this relationship described in that manner that exists between God and us. Now, I think Tony even mentioned this in his Bible class this morning. We talked a little bit about shepherding and about sheep, and he made the comment that he's not a shepherd and he's not a farmer. Well, I'm not either. I've never raised sheep. I've actually been around them a couple of times, like at a zoo or something, but nothing of any significance. But it doesn't take much research to understand a little bit about sheep. Let me share a true story with you. July the 8th, 2005, some Turkish shepherds in Turkey had come together, and there were four or five shepherds, and they had brought their flocks together, and they had found this nice pasture early in the morning, and they were allowing their sheep to graze while they stopped to go eat breakfast. And they left them unattended during that moment while they went to eat breakfast. And while they were eating, one sheep decided to wander off of the cliff and fell 50 feet into a ravine below. Immediately after that one sheep did, 1,499 followed him and did the exact same thing. 400 of those sheep would die. The remaining would live simply because the other sheep cushioned their blow as they fell into that ravine. You see, sheep, even when they have everything they need, have a tendency to wander. They don't seem to be able to understand that all their necessities are right there, and they tend to just wander off. And when you think about a sheep, they're not exactly ferocious. They're not predators. In fact, if we're honest, they're just kind of plain dumb. And that's how we're described as sheep. But that doesn't mean that God looks at us as dumb. What it's meant to describe is the necessity that we have to depend upon God. Open your Bibles with me this morning to Psalm 23. Psalm 23. We'll spend our time together looking at this particular psalm. But what I'd like to ask you to do, though, is maybe just think about this one thing with me, kind of file it away in your mind, and maybe just refer to it as we go through this psalm, and we'll come back here at the end and spend a little bit of time. Jesus himself in John chapter 10 would describe himself as the good shepherd. In fact, he would tell his audience, "I am the good shepherd." It's one of his I am statements found in the Gospel of John. As David penned the words to this particular psalm, we don't really know a lot of detail. We don't know if he penned this when he was young or whether he was older. But David was thinking about his relationship with God. And every aspect of this psalm will be applicable to us, but you and I also have the ability to think about Jesus as our good shepherd. And I want us to think about, what is life like with the good shepherd? And the first thing I want us to consider is this, that life with the good shepherd is a life without uncertainty. A life without uncertainty. That almost sounds contradictory, doesn't it? Because when you and I think about the circumstances that we live in, it almost seems like every aspect of our day is just filled with uncertainty in some type of way, doesn't it? Whether our jobs or maybe our financial situation, or we look at different aspects of our country, it doesn't take long for us to see things that just seem to be uncertain. But David tells us that life with a good shepherd is life without uncertainty. Let's start reading together in verse 1. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake." What's the first thing that you and I can notice that helps us live a life without uncertainty? It's the incredible relationship that David had with God. Depending upon the version that you're reading from, some 17 times in these few verses that make up this 23rd Psalm, David refers to himself in some way, "my, me, mine, I." Some 12 or 13 times, David refers to the Lord in some way, either specifically by saying the Lord, or he, or his, or you, or your. You see, David understands that there's this incredible personal relationship that exists with God as his shepherd. Think about that for just a moment. The God that created the universe, the God that controls all things, that knows all things, that sees all things, the God that is everywhere knows you and me personally. If we went a little further in the Psalms to Psalm 139, the psalmist talks about that very thing around verses 15 and 16. That God has known us from the very moment our substance was formed inside of our mother's wombs. You see, God cares about us. And because of that, that one aspect tells us that life can be certain because God, the Creator, the one that is over all, has this personal relationship with us. But when you think about our lives, they really can be divided into three aspects, if you really think about it. There's the physical side, there's the emotional side, and then there's the spiritual side. Those three elements, in essence, make us up totally as individuals. And David addresses all three of those things right here. You see, we don't have to live with this uncertain future because God provides for our physical needs. He says in verse 2 that God makes me lie down in green pastures. You see, that's one of the things that shepherds did. You know, just like God has this personal relationship, shepherds had that type of relationship with their sheep. In fact, many times they would name their sheep. They would play music for them, sing to them. But what they would do is lead them into pasture so that they could feed and that they could eat and they could have everything that they need. You think about Jesus, the good shepherd. In Matthew chapter 6, in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount, he's addressing his audience, and the audience that he's talking to, they literally worried about the necessities of life. I'm going to guess most of us in this room, we don't have to worry about those things. We don't necessarily have to worry about a roof over our head tonight. or about what we had to wear this morning, or even necessarily where our next meal comes from. But the audience that Jesus was speaking to in Matthew chapter 6, they worried about those very things. So Jesus would tell them, don't worry about what you're going to eat or about what you're going to wear or about those necessities of life. And he would make this analogy to them. You think about the birds of the air. They don't build barns, do they? They don't go build things that they can go gather food and store them. They simply just go about their day. And what does God do? He provides the things that they need for that day. Or he would talk about the lilies of the field and how they were adorned, and how the grass and the lilies, they only appear for a short amount of time, but yet God cares for them. And then you think about those aspects of creation compared to mankind, compared to us. You and I are the pinnacle of creation. Paul would say that we are his workmanship or his masterpiece. If God cares for the birds, if God takes care of creation and those things, how much more, Jesus would tell his audience, is he going to provide the necessities for us? Turn just a few pages over to Psalm 37. Psalm 37. Read along with me, beginning in verse 1. Fret not yourself because of evildoers, but be not envious of wrongdoers, for they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will act. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. And then drop down to verse number 23. The steps of a man are established by the Lord. When he delights in his way, though he fall, he shall not be cast headlong, for the Lord upholds his hand. And now listen to what David says, the psalmist, in verse 25. I've been young, and now I'm old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken or his children begging for bread. You see, that's life with the Good Shepherd. When we think about our physical needs and our necessities, we don't have to live with uncertainty in our life. Because you see, life with the Good Shepherd means that when we allow him to lead, we allow him to govern our life, that those necessities will be provided. Now, it might mean that we have to change our perspective. It might mean that we have to look at things a little bit differently. It may not mean that I get the filet mignon that I might be wanting for supper, or it may mean that I'm not wearing the most up-to-date clothes, or I may not drive the nicest car, or I may not live in a mansion on a hill. But you see what God says, I'm going to provide for your needs. It takes a lot of faith, doesn't it? It's easier to talk about than it is necessarily to live. But David had come to understand that as he thought about life with the Good Shepherd. But what about emotionally? What about our emotional well-being? Look at the second half of verse 2. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. Literally, in the Hebrew, it means he leads me beside waters of rest. That's an incredible picture, isn't it? You see, even though the sheep needed to be fed, they also needed time for rest. I got to be honest, this is one of those that's hard for me. It's hard sometimes to slow down, isn't it? But do you ever stop and realize that God wants us to take time to slow down, to rest, and to recharge ourselves emotionally? We need those moments. He restores my soul. Literally, he causes life to return to me. You see, if we don't take care of ourselves emotionally and allow God to provide those times of restoring, we can lose a part of who we are and who we should be for God. And it almost seems like it's a badge of honor to see how busy our schedules can be sometimes, isn't it? It's almost like, how much can we get into a short amount of time? And what David has come to learn is that life with the Good Shepherd requires time for slowing down, for being by those waters of rest, to allow for healing emotionally, to allow ourselves to restore, for God to be able to restore life to me. You think about physically, you think about emotionally, but then David also talks about the spiritual. Verse 3, He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. We've been looking at the book of Proverbs in our Sunday morning Bible class. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 28 would say, In the paths of righteousness is life. In its pathway there is not death. You see, the good shepherd leads his sheep. He's out in front of them. He's leading them to food. He's leading them to places that allow for rest, for them to have life return to them. But the pathway is also a pathway of safety. It's a pathway of righteousness, the psalmist would say. You think about God's desires for us. We can look throughout Scripture, and we can find any number of places where instruction is given to us in terms of how we are to live. We can find things that we should do. We can find things that we should not do. And at times, what Satan would want us to believe is that God's intent is for us not to enjoy life at all. That His commands, even we might call them sometimes rules that He would like for us to live by, are somehow meant to suppress us. And that we're missing out on something by not living in the way that makes us happy. But you see, David paints a very different picture. He says the path that the shepherd's trying to lead us on is for our own goodness. It's to cause us healing. It's to provide for our needs. And the whole intent is for His name's sake. What does that mean? I want you to think back with me to creation. To Genesis chapter 1. When God made man, when He made Adam and Eve, He made them how? In His image, right? So you see, mankind from the very beginning was meant to be, the intent was that we would be image bearers of God. That we would reflect God in our attitudes and in our actions and in the way that God's character or nature is made up. You think about the fact that He is loving, He's kind, He is gracious, He extends mercy. God does those things perfectly, completely, but He allows you and me to participate in those same elements, doesn't He? And so we can reflect Him by showing those things in our life. And as He leads us in the paths of righteousness, it's so we can be His image bearers in a way that others will see Him and come to know Him. And all these things, the physical, the emotional, and the spiritual, or so you and I can live a life without uncertainty. We can be certain in every aspect of those three areas that make up who we are as people. And so we don't have to live with uncertainty in our lives. But the second thing I want us to notice is this, that a life with a good shepherd is a life without fear. I appreciate, Tony, your prayer this morning. And you mentioned that very thing as a part of your prayer, that we wouldn't live with fear. And I thought about that as you were speaking and thinking about the lesson in this psalm, that we are not to live a life with fear. Look at verse number 4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You notice the subtle change here? In verses 1 through 3, the picture is one of the shepherd leading out in front. But now in verse 4, there's this transition where the shepherd now seems to be more by the side of the sheep, doesn't he? He's no longer out in front. You see, now there's a point of danger. There's difficulty. So the shepherd has come beside the sheep. And this is more than literally just death. Again, if we were to go back to the Hebrew, this is really talking about any difficulty that could come a person's way. Well, certainly there are any number of things that can cause difficulty in life, aren't there? There are physical things that can harm us. There are medical diagnoses that when we hear words that can strike fear in our hearts because of the uncertainty that lies ahead with that diagnosis. There are any number of things that can cause us to have this emotion of fear. But David's challenge, and he's come to the point to understand that with God as the shepherd, there's no reason to fear because God is beside every step of the way. And don't miss the poetic language. It's the shadow of death. You see, shadows can't really hurt, can they? When I was a little boy, probably 6 years old, my bedroom, outside my bedroom window, was a massive magnolia tree. And I don't know, hopefully some of you at least know what a magnolia tree is. They have these huge branches and these incredibly big leaves that love to fall and make an incredible mess that six-year-old boys had to rake up. But that's another story. All right, I digress. But at night, when I was in my bedroom with that window open, we didn't have blinds, they were just curtains. One of those tree limbs made this huge shadow that came across my wall. And man, for like 2 years, I was scared to death. I was convinced that there was something on that tree limb that was going to come get me. But the truth is, it was a shadow. Couldn't do anything, could it? You see, shadows aren't real. They can't do any harm. And so here the psalmist says, it's the shadow of the valley of death. You see, death itself has already been conquered. Christ, the good shepherd, has conquered it. And notice how he says, you walk through the valley. You don't stop in the valley. That's not where it ends. The shepherd is beside the sheep, and it doesn't end in this place that might strike fear in our hearts. The shepherd is going to lead through that moment. And it's not even anything that can actually do harm. It's just a shadow. He says, you're with me. And he mentions two things, the rod and the staff. The staff was something that the shepherd kept in his hand. The rod was usually in his belt. And the staff was more offensive in nature, you might say. It was used for guidance and for correction to help bring the sheep where they needed to be. The rod was more of a defensive weapon. That when danger came, the shepherd would use that rod to fend off danger. How is it that you and I can live without fear? Again, it almost seems impossible, doesn't it? As I mentioned, there are any number of things that you and I might experience in our lives that somehow strike fear in our hearts. Keep your place here and turn to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. Jesus is in the process of preparing to send out the 12 apostles. And I want you to notice what he tells them in verse 16. And I want you to try to put yourself in their shoes for just a moment. They're still in their infancy stages of their ministry and learning. They are in this mentoring relationship with Christ where Jesus is mentoring them to prepare them for them to serve in their ministry after he's gone. And they've struggled in a lot of ways in understanding what Christ has told them. They've seen the crowds and the reaction to Christ and the religious rulers, how they are resentful and angry and have this agenda against Jesus. And now notice what he tells them beginning in verse 16 of Matthew chapter 10. Behold, I am sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Isn't it interesting, the analogy again? So be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Beware of men, for they will deliver you over to courts and flog you in their synagogues, and you will be dragged before governors and kings for my sake to bear witness before them and the Gentiles. It's not exactly a ringing sales pitch, is it? Here, I want to prepare you, and the way I'm preparing you is telling you that you're going to be beaten. You're going to be dragged in before rulers and authorities. They can do any number of things to you. But now I want you to drop down to verse 26 with me and listen to what he tells them. So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered that will not be revealed or hidden that will not be known. What I tell you in the dark, say in the light. And what you hear whispered, proclaim on the housetop. And now notice verse 28, because here's the key. And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both body and soul in hell. You see, he could send them out on that mission because they didn't need to fear. Because the thing that mattered most, the spiritual, was secure. You know, I think a lot of times when we think about spiritual, it's hard for us to understand that, isn't it? We somehow hear that word and it's almost like it's mystical. Like spiritual has to do with something mystical and far away. But really, spiritual has to do simply with our relationship with God. And he, in essence, was telling them, you don't have to worry what happens to you physically because your relationship with God is everything it needs to be. It's secure. Nothing can destroy that relationship that you have with God. I think as we go back to Psalm 23 and we think about living a life without fear, the key to that process is understanding that what matters is our relationship with God. It's not what we might suffer physically. It's not what we might experience physically. It's about our relationship that we experience right now. We can experience that relationship in the present, and then it's about that relationship that we will have in the future as well. But you see, we can live a life without fear when the Good Shepherd is the one that leads, when he has control of our lives. But then the final thing I want us to notice is this, that life with the Good Shepherd is a life with hope. Look at verse number 5. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It's almost as if the scene kind of shifts here. From the picture of a shepherd to now one of a gracious host that's prepared this incredible table. And the picture is, here's this table with everything that could be needed, surrounded by those that would pose harm or danger, enemies. But yet the host has a way of taking care. And those that have come to sit at this table can partake and they can enjoy without any fear of hurt or harm from those that are out. The idea of anointing with oil. A lot of times that has to do with a king or a priest and that process. But here, it's a different kind of anointing. Think when Mary anointed the head of Jesus when he came into her home. A lot of times hosts would do that. But I also can't help but hearken back to the shepherd analogy. So shepherds would lead the sheep to eat. They would take them beside still waters. And then at night, as those sheep would come in, they would count them and they would inspect each one of them. And if there were injuries or hurt, they would take oil and they would use that as medicine to help heal the hurts of the sheep. But then you think about the future. And I guess all of us, if we think about the future, there's a lot of unknowns, aren't there? None of us really knows what tomorrow might hold, whether 5, 10, 15, 20 years. But you see, the key to a life with hope is understanding that while the future may be unknown, the one who's in control of that future is known. And David understood that. And he understood that God's desire is one of goodness and mercy, and that those would almost pursue and follow and come behind to overtake. But then David understands as he concludes, there's this idea of fellowship with God. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And that word forever, it's not talking about eternity. It's talking about all the days ahead, the physical days of David, that there would be this fellowship that he would enjoy with God as a result of him following the Good Shepherd. Now, I mentioned to you at the beginning to just file away John chapter 10 and the thought of Jesus as he said, I am the Good Shepherd. And I want us to look at two passages as we conclude our thoughts this morning. The first one comes from John chapter 10. And I want us to consider this idea of a life with hope. And that life with hope is based upon fellowship with God. John chapter 10, look at verse 11. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Five more times, I think, if we were to keep on reading, Jesus would say, I lay down my life. You see, that's what the good shepherd did. The good shepherd laid down his life for you and for me as his sheep. Now turn with me to 1 John chapter 1. And I want us to think about this idea of fellowship with God and fellowship with each other, all made possible by the good shepherd that laid down his life. Look at verse number 6 with me. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus his son cleanses us from all sin. That's an incredible picture, because you see two things: fellowship with God and fellowship with each other, all made possible by the good shepherd that laid down his life, whose blood cleanses us and allows us to enjoy those incredible benefits. You see, the life with the good shepherd is not just one that David enjoyed. It's not just one that David understood as a shepherd overseeing sheep. It's a life that you and I live right now in the moment. As long as we allow the good shepherd to lead and control our lives. And you see, sometimes that's the struggle, isn't it? Because the struggle is we want to do that. We want to lead. We want to be in control. And it's not easy to let go. It's not easy to let go of the wheel and give every aspect of our lives to him. Not hold back a piece. Not hold on to just a sliver. To fully let go and let the shepherd guide our lives. And as we do that, what we'll find is that we don't have to live with uncertainty. That we don't have to live in fear, because we live a life that's full of hope found in that good shepherd. Are you allowing him to lead your life this morning? Are you taking advantage of the fact that he laid down his life for you? That you have access to his blood that can wash our sins away and that can allow us to be before God in this continual state of cleansing? That opportunity is open for all of us this morning to give him control of our lives, to turn it over to him. We're here as a church family. We'll help you and support you in your journey of faith in any way that we can. Whatever way we can help you, just let us know now while together we stand and sing.